Well, thanks to fat people, the traditional lap dance, which kind of is limiting because it just involves your lap, has become like a full body experience. And when I say a full body, I mean like the mass of two bodies. That was a stripper, if you're a blind viewer listening, trying to give a lap dance to a woman. And then the chair collapsed because she's a fatty. And fat people do things like that. This is an episode roasting fat people and other people that we don't like here on Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color in 8K, which is the kind of quality we bring you. I have an amazing guest in the studio, the one, the only host of War Room on InfoWars, Owen Schroyer. Confetti of color in his face. That's the COC that you've come to know and love. How do you like that? You like it?
Very advanced stuff right there. I almost thought it was real.
I know. It's, you know, people don't realize we've talked about it. This show's actually 4D. Your chair shocks you and you can smell the rainbow as
it comes. Is that what that waiver release form was for?
Yeah, you know, it's better than smelling whatever that woman sitting on the chair was smelling. I mean, when we're talking about this, Owen, we're going to talk about this out of a place of caring, because the reason why we have to talk about fat people and this stuff is because they're the ones leading the pandemic. And so if we can tackle being fat or obesity, then we therefore save people from dying from COVID. We're doing God's work. We are doing the Lord's work.
Or heart disease or any of the other, you know, there's all kinds of diseases, diabetes. And if you look at pictures from the 70s and the 80s, you notice you don't see many fat people on the beaches of Miami, on the beaches of Los Angeles, thin, in-shape people. Most people in Europe aren't really overweight like they are here. So we're just trying to help you out. But, I mean, we could almost do a play-by-play of that video there. I mean, so many things went wrong. So many things could have gone wrong that didn't, too. I mean, this woman is lucky that our friend Miss Peach is there, or whoever her name is. She kind of falls a little bit to the left. And you see what I'm saying? If she would have fallen straight down, you know what would have happened, right? I mean, it's where the sun don't shine and her head there.
Can I just say this, though? The Rock is feeling a little bit, you know, jealous, even John Cena, because this is some WWE lap dancing. Like, I mean, I don't know what, when I watch videos like this, I have to ask myself the serious question. If this had gone right, what does that look like? Because there's nowhere in this act that, like, I don't.
That's the shot right there. That's the RKO.
There's like, but where was, what is the hypothetical of the situation going well? Do you know what I mean? Like, this isn't going wrong. But what is the opposite of this? Because it seems like there's no way out of this where it's not something bad happening. Like, either way, you have a black fat girl's butt in, you know, her fupa in your face.
She clearly did not measure the structural integrity of that chair. I don't think that chair was meant to hold 350 plus.
And you're being nice. You're being gracious.
It was all over from there. And so as soon as the weight was centered, the back legs give right out. If it goes right and the chair works, the woman may have had her lungs broken. I mean, that could have been a life-saving thing there.
The smell. I just think of, like, the smell. You know, like, I haven't had my face in a fat black woman's butt before. But if I had, I wouldn't breathe. I would hold my breath.
Until what? Until what?
Until she falls to the side of me. Because I have a feeling, like, the smell of the crevice. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be some strong stench.
Do you expect some moisture?
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, a little bit of, like, maybe like some like chafing skin, a little taste of shea butter, maybe.
You know, I'm looking at this video and everybody's probably seen this, and there's some observable things that I'm just now starting to ask questions about. Where is this? This looks like a normal Mexican restaurant. Like, what Mexican restaurants am I going to?
I've just been looking at the queso this whole time.
Yeah. Look at that.
Ladies
you
and gentlemen,
got some avocado down there.
Ladies and gentlemen, our resident Mexican and Asian mix that makes us the show not racist, Savannah Hernandez, yes. Producer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I would like to be left out of this show if we're just going to be roasting fat people, because good Lord, the commentary. We're what, 3 minutes in? 4 minutes. 4 minutes.
We're 4 minutes in, and we're going to talk about more of this, and we're also going to roast the gays and a lot of other people as well. But of course, here at Slightly Offensive, I'm going to tell you this. We only wear the best boxers and undergarments in America. We don't like any of those gay underwear with the rainbow waistbands. I don't know what you're packing in there. I don't know what you're not packing there, I should say. But I'm going to tell you this. I only wear under-tack boxers for a lot of reasons. Number one, they developed a quick-release fly. Trust me. Sometimes when you're married, you got to get things done other than just going pee. And at least there's a quick option for the wife. They're also optimized for concealed carry. And boys, I know you are packing big BDE, and I know that you got to have boxers that fit everything comfortably and give you just the right support. They also have an extra wide waistband with an escape and evasion pocket, good for cash, handcuff key, or other tactical items. The material also is not only ultra soft. So if you're a hard dude, which is epic, put your hard on in the ultra soft underwear that is the best that I wear all the time. It's also antibacterial, freaking amazing. They don't smell. It doesn't peel like other little gross Target boxers. Keep that disgusting Target cheap shit away from me. I want the best stuff in America. I want it to be moisture wicking so I stay fresh all day and dry all day. I can't be having that stripper quality, you know, moisture in my body. I gotta do this. It's also high quality fabric that's durable, fade resistant, shrink resistant, ultra lightweight, and battle tested by special forces. A company that respects you, that loves you, not only your values in the country, but the part of your body that you value the most. And they keep it dry, safe, and of course comfortable. And here's the best part: the 30% less expensive than the competition. This is what you get with UnderTAC, the only brand that is unapologetically pro-America, pro-military, and pro-2A. Go to getundertac.com. That's getundertac.com. GETUNDERTAC.com right now and save 20% off your order with the offer code OFFENSIVE20. That's OFFENSIVE20. So on top of being a superior product for 30% less, you can save an additional 20%. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. You won't regret this. Neither will your balls. That's GetUnderTAC.com. GetUnderTAC.com. Promo code OFFENSIVE20. So speaking of this, like I mentioned, I don't know if we got a freeze frame here, but the fannies have been causing problems, Owen. That was a good intro. The fannies have been causing a lot of problems. You can almost blame all of the lockdowns besides the government. The government's the most responsible. But if you look at like 78% of hospitalizations, if you look at most of healthcare and like most deaths from heart disease are related to one group of people. I'm just kidding. No, fatties.
Well, you make an excellent point though, when you talk about healthcare, because they want to make you pay for people to live an unhealthy lifestyle. I mean, that's ridiculous. And that's what it is, because you're right. Most of the people that end up in hospitals are unhealthy people, a lot of them morbidly obese, and they have diabetes, they have heart problems. Now I guess they can't fight COVID because they don't have an immune system. And they want to put you into a healthcare system where you're paying for all of that. And so why shouldn't you be upset if that's what they want to do? Why shouldn't you want to hold your fellow citizen accountable if they're in bad health? So we can make jokes about, them collapsing chairs and all the other goofy stuff that we like to make fun of them for. And that's perfectly fine. And hey, live an unhealthy lifestyle. Just don't make me pay for it. Oh, keep giving me the free entertainment. Believe me.
At Mexican, please keep doing this.
I want to know what Mexican restaurant this is that has just free strippers. You're having lunch at a Mexican restaurant. Next thing you know, and next coming down to the stage, it's Sandy, Sandy Peaches. And just, oh, honey, I'm going to go sit in the middle of the Mexican restaurant, and Sandy Peaches is going to give me a lap dance. Okay, I'm just going to eat my tacos over here. Okay.
Do you know what Mexicans always do? They always give nicknames that are opposite of the person. So they probably all call her like Tiny. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh,
that's
Tiny's
a Mexican
coming.
Thing?
Like, yeah, it really is. Like, they'll call you the opposite of like what you are. And it is interesting because like I just said, there's so much going on here that this is what's so crazy is the woman sitting on the seat. You may call her curvy, and that's fine. But that used to be considered like thick or like overweight just 30, 40 years ago. Like the thick girls used to even be misunderstood as being fat a while ago. And what's crazy is like thick girls are the ones who have benefited the most from the fatdemic, because no one's thinking you're fat anymore, because we're dealing with like super morbid obesity. We are dealing with fat people that have fat growing off of their fat. Like there are people that can lose an entire savanna and still not be in shape.
Well, and not that I want to dive into this right now, but I was observing your drag dictionary before I came on here.
So
don't
horrific.
Out me. Don't out
and
me.
I noticed,
so horrific. Don't
out
me.
And I noticed something that every person depicted in that is morbidly obese. If you would have shown that to somebody 30 years ago, they'd say, why are all these images of extremely fat people that honestly, they probably didn't even exist 30, 40 years ago. You probably couldn't even find somebody that fat 30 to 40 years ago. It literally didn't even exist.
Yeah.
And now they see it and it's just normal, or it's allegedly supposed to be normal.
Yeah.
It's not.
So since you brought that up, I mean, look at this. Okay. So
every single drawing is of morbidly obese people.
I need to give a background because you guys, this is super sus now that I have a drag dictionary.
Yeah, it's just on lock. No yeah. one's surprised.
Okay.
So just light reading material.
We're going to talk about fat people here. So one of you guys, I do really actually take your advice important. Somebody sent me, they're like, dude, there's a drag dictionary. This DM'd me that exists. You better believe that was not only in my Amazon cart within like 60 seconds. It was on its way to my house express shipping.
You're considering giving out signed copies.
This is literally, if you, other than the Bible, this might be one of the most important books in humanity. Mm-hmm. This is more important than the Quran.
I learned things that I didn't want to learn from that book.
This helps the people in that read the Quran know who to target next.
It's really sick.
It's like
honestly.
The targeting book. It's like volume two to the Quran.
That book right there is disgusting.
Can I read you something?
Sure.
So I learned some new stuff, and I hear on Slightly Offensive, we always guarantee that people will learn something new every episode.
I already have from that book alone, so.
Yeah, they might not want to know it. They might be better off without of knowing it. But hey, you can't say we didn't educate you. I found out a new word. I don't exactly know what's going on in this picture. If anyone can explain to me, I don't know.
Blobs on top of blobs.
But there's really high blood pressure and probably some very, a lot of fluids. And I think,
is that a wig on the ground too?
Yeah, because they're drag. Remember, it's a drag queen?
Yep.
So these are fat drags with hairy legs.
It looks like a live depiction of how Kamala Harris might have been made.
Is this two people having sex with a marshmallow?
Potentially. Okay. Potentially.
So this is the word. It's called kai kai. They pronounce it kai kai. And here's what it is. I'm going to do it like, you know, like, I'm going
to
do it like.
Yeah, you have to see the photo.
Wait, I'm going
to
do it like this. You know, they do like the children's books, how they have it like this.
This is a children's book, I'm sure.
Yeah, this show's for kids.
Yeah.
To have your 8-year-olds watch the show and learn about Kai Kai. Kai Kai. Now we're talking. Kai Kai is.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah,
what? It's like we can't even get through this book because it's that ridiculous.
Kai Kai is the sexual interaction between two drag queens. It can also be used for queens hooking up out of drag. Here's an example. They gave an example as if like we asked. You know, they always say in the TikTok videos, like, since you asked, and no one asked. Nobody even asked for a word to describe sexual intercourse between drag queens. We didn't need one.
I thought it was just gay sex.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that not all drags are guys.
Oh.
That girls can too. You never seen drag syndrome? Down syndrome drag people?
I thought the whole point was, if you were a drag queen, it was like you were a dude dressing like a girl.
And some of them apparently are just queer. According to this book, there's a such thing as a queer one. I know.
Thank God for books like these.
Well, I am your resident drag dictionary. And I love this illustrated glossary of fierce queen slang. Oh, what the hell is this? All right. It says, after a long night of partying, my squirrel friend and I decided to kai kai. So this brings up a question. What's a squirrel? I never thought about this.
Actually, squirrel is if you go to the S section in your drag dictionary class, please scroll to the S section now. A squirrel, I've learned, is actually a drag queen that protects their nuts. So in other words, I guess they do the tuck.
That makes sense, actually. That makes a lot of sense.
But I have to tell you, this is something I've never actually understood. I've never actually understood the tuck. It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. I will tell
the
you
the definition's in there too.
This is also going to be very sus, but yes, the definition's in here. And I do know.
First thing Elijah flipped
to. Listen. So this is squirrel friends. Squirrel friends protect your nuts. Squirrel friends derives from girlfriends. It refers to drag queens, especially those who hide their nuts, their genitalia, by tucking them backwards between their legs. Yeah, they to simulate the look of female private parts. Here's the example that you didn't ask for. Even the freaking squirrels are obese. When have you ever seen a squirrel with legs like that? Shit, girl. What's up? Like, I never have seen a squirrel like that. I'll tell you what.
Golden squirrel.
That is legs, man. It says, let's spill some tea between us squirrel friends. So, you know, like when you're trying to make friends, people are like, oh, should I make Christian friends? Should I make friends at church? Like, you know what? I do finally understand this community, because it's like, what would bring people together more than being like, yo, are you crazy enough that you tape your nuts to your to your leg too? And it's like, shit. Like, that would be a next level connection.
Yeah, like, whoa. Like, oh my gosh, we're best friends. We're squirrels. Let's go kai kai.
Let's go. What's up, squirrel friend? Let's go kai kai.
I mean, you got to imagine though, if you're already
the boobs
is so pointed.
If you're already in that mindset though, like you would imagine if you meet a squirrel out, you're probably immediately going to Kai Kai. I mean, there's no in between.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. And they, of course they have like the black, you know, male or woman on the front. It is. And you know what? this is not going to shock you. Guess what's in the drag dictionary?
I already saw it.
Guess what the drag dictionary has in their words to learn.
Oh yeah. That was a really disgusting one.
Children.
There's also an exact quote in there that says murder all the children, but the kids survived or something.
Yeah. Listen, this term can refer to drag mothers who take up an up and coming drag queens under their wings as their drag children and teach them valuable drag knowledge, literally indoctrinating kids into their gay cult. It can also refer, oh wait, we forgot, it may not be gay, it's just queer, right? That's what it said in here.
It's all a mental disorder.
Yeah, it can also refer to an audience. This is because they are taking care of the audience by serving looks, reading them, or simply giving them a sickening performance. So the example is the children were living for her performance and tipped her a lot. Who they call their audience children. Drag queens call their audience children. Wake up, people.
You know, here's what.
Wake up, fatties.
Here's what I realized looking through that book, though, for real, is that it's because there's only two genders. Everything else is a mental disorder. And so what it really is doing is it's treating these people like, you know, we have Special Olympics. We have special schools for people that have Down syndrome and stuff like that. Like we've set aside parts of our civilization for people that have mental disorders so that they can be welcomed and they can succeed and they can have events that they can do. But you don't give them the keys to society, right? I mean, that's what we're doing with these people. I mean, these people have, it's classified as a mental disorder, but we're just saying, oh, give them the keys to the kingdom. Let them teach your kids. Let them in the libraries. Let them in everything. And really, it's classified as a mental disorder. Really, it's just a sexual perversion is really what it is. I mean, I don't think they actually have some sort of mental thing that they can't control. They could control all this. They don't have to do whatever it is with a tuck. Seriously though, I know what it is. I don't know how they do it. That's what I don't understand.
Okay, I
don't want to know.
No,
please. I want to keep this.
I will tell you.
A mystery.
No, you're going to learn two things.
No.
So Savannah.
Please God.
Savannah has asked me for a long time to explain people. How
I'm
tuck.
Sure. Yeah.
No. So I went and filmed one of the most disgusting videos that I've ever made in my life. Was, and I've told this story before, but maybe you haven't heard it if you don't listen to the show often, was when I decided to film a slightly offensive episode at RuPaul's Drag Con in LA. And
I think I saw that. You were just interviewing people, right?
Yeah. Oh, it was the worst. And maybe Savannah, if you can overlay some of the images from that in post, I'll show you the video. You're probably seeing them right now and you see the people I was involved in.
I remember those videos. It was a couple years ago.
It was really bad. And I went and interviewed people who sold transgender underwear and like how it worked. And they told me, like, they gave me an example of like how it worked with like a fake penis and like had me actually put the underwear on like this mannequin and showed me how to do it. It didn't make it into the show because it would have got us canceled because it was like a straight up just like throbbing silicon dick on this mannequin.
You could probably put that in a children's library though.
Yes. It could be taught in a Loudoun County school, but not on YouTube. So like they showed me how to do it. And I was like, dude, I even told a person, I was like, dude, this looks like torture. Like you have to literally like take your dick in your nuts and you have to like, it's like these compression garments that essentially like take all of the volume out of your junk so that they disappear. And it took this giant silicone dildo thing and it totally made it disappear in these underwear where it looked like a woman's like underwear. And I was like, this is not normal. This is not good. This is disgusting. And I was thinking in my head, I'm like, how can they say that this is like, we should have more of this? Like, if you're doing this, you don't love yourself. You don't love yourself.
Because, like a masochist.
It's like a pain fetish.
Yeah.
And then they compliment, they're like, the brand was like, this is a, you'll get complimented and people will see you have no dick. I'm like, what guy is excited that people are like, no one knows I got one of those. It's like, something is wrong with you, buddy. If you want people to think you don't have a penis, that's weird.
I'll tell you another one that really sent me into a loop.
Okay, I want to hear this.
I was, I found out from a gay friend of mine who's a lot older, and he was explaining to me, I used to work with this individual, we worked together for maybe a year or so, and he was explaining to me one time, this was because he knew I wasn't going to be working with him anymore, how he would wear a butt plug to work, and he would tell me, like, shut up, he'd be like, no, I'd come to work with it.
What is the purpose?
So it's a pleasure thing. it's like it's up there, and I guess they get pleasure from it, and they walk and they can like move it around in their chair, and they're like sitting there like masturbating with a butt plug, dude. He was explaining it all to me.
Dear God, please, I swear.
And then I found out from another gay colleague of mine.
No more.
That this is a normal thing.
I have a worse story.
I'm serious. So like this was a mind blowing thing for me. You could be sitting on a subway. You could be at a ball game. You could be at a restaurant, and somebody might literally have a toy up there
visiting your grandma,
shifting around, giving themselves a little.
That's why Elijah's always shifting his chair. He was like, "Why is he always moving?"
And I'm like, "Elijah, can you stop moving? It all makes sense now."
I'm like, "Well, one more adjustment." No, but like,
oh,
dude, honestly, like,
what happened?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
That blew my mind. I just.
Like, I don't know. I literally went to buy a hemorrhoid, and that was, like, enough to deal with. I don't think I need, like, a plug up there or whatever it is. I'm assuming it's not a real plug. It's like just cut the cord and just stick it up there, you know? It's like an outlet. You know? Who knew? Like, dude, I love saying gross shit to you.
Exit only.
Listen, I have a better story. This is graphic warning for children. I don't know why kids watch this show, but some of you say your kids watch this. Warning, this is graphic. When I was at the drag con... the most disgusting, there was this drag queen that I guess you'd call it that I was interviewing, and there was this like stench coming from his breath, and he was in full drag that like I couldn't get, and it was like really kind of gross, and I was like, why does this smell so weird? Like I haven't smelt this, like it's like a new smell, but it's like makes me wheezy. And then he goes to tell me how he was just in the bathroom sucking four dicks and gargling down all of their cum, and I was smelling the spit cum of four gay drag queens on this person's breath. And I walked away and physically threw up into a trash can. Yeah, I'm on camera. We didn't show the throw up, but I'm going, and like, I almost like full on, like imagine somebody just literally gave blowjobs to like gay, like sodomites that are like loose. And then there's
that probably
in their
happens
mouth.
All the time at the RuPaul place.
It was a smell I can't describe. It was a smell I can't describe. I can try to describe it.
Elijah, nobody is better after My hearing fault. That story. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Speaking of continuing on, it is connected here. If you can go to my screen, I do want to say this, that the reason why I'm going after the fatties too is because now they're connecting being fat to the gender. And there's so much to break down here. Like, I actually could not tell if that's a boy or a girl.
I would say that's a boy. But why? I understand. You got a little bit of a mustache going. Obviously, the haircut is a male haircut,
but it could be they could be on the testosterone.
Yeah, no,
you can't
I get
grow
it.
Facial hair.
But see, that's the whole that see, look, there's probably dudes or girls that have weird sexual kinks or fetishes, and they're innocent enough. But then there's people that just want to deceive you, like they just want that, like that's their whole thing is how can I wake up and be the biggest freak and confuse people. And then some even take it to another level where they'll put on a wig and they'll have a beard and they'll dress like a woman. And then if you say man or sir or something like that, oh, then they blow up on you. They call the cops on you. People have seen videos of this. The one famous one, I think it's in a GameStop. It's ma'am. It's like a dude with a bulging Adam's apple and like a, you know, bulging male member. It's ma'am. It's
so,
ma'am. Like,
so bigoted of you.
That's the kind
of beautiful
person.
That's a beautiful woman.
But I'm saying they wake up every day and for them, it's not like, oh, I feel pretty or this makes me feel good. It's like, I'm going to deceive people today. Like I'm going to trick somebody. And then if somebody calls me the wrong pronoun, yeah, that's when I'm really going to have my heyday. Mm-hmm. And they walk around like this.
Yeah, I know. I think, I wonder if we can get this on the screen here. I don't know where it is. Wow. Well, I guess I wasn't able to do that. There it is. Look at my screen. It's ma'am. We're here. That's a lot of images because I couldn't get one blown up. But yeah, that is one beautiful lady right there, huh? Look at that. That's a, she could crush you with her bicep.
Yeah, it's really the strong jawline for me, the bulging muscles that really scream.
Do you
femininity.
Like lady dick?
Me or Owen? Who was that question directed towards? Because I'm really not sure right now.
I'm sure there's, it's like L for lady dick. But I also don't understand this either. I think it's so funny. That's when they tell you, like, you have to call this a woman. You go, buddy, like, let's Look, if you want to take someone like Blair White and start making arguments about pronouns, you need to like you need to pick your right representatives. This is where the trans community really F's up. Like, if you want to make a case, that's what you were saying. Like, I'm gonna go back to this picture. I don't know which one this is. I think it's here. So like, if you want to make a case, like, hey, you know what? Trans women are women and you should call them by their pronouns. You better damn well, when you're making an argument to me and asking me to violate all of biology and logic, have somebody in front of me that I can't tell is a man. Like, yeah. you better be like, dude, look at this person and tell me that that's a man. And I better actually be confused and be like, that's a man. When you bring, you know, bring like Shrek without makeup here. It's like literally Shrek live, you know? I swear to God, if Shrek was a human being, this is not an ogre.
And notice what's going on.
I don't know what's going on here, and I'm not even gonna say anything mean. I just don't know what's happening. I don't have an explanation for you.
Well, you know that's obviously a liberal. I mean, she has the pro. I'm pro this, I'm pro that.
Look at the bottom one. Pro ho, pro science.
Like, you know what? You ain't getting Kai. Okay.
You know, and that's
you ain't getting the Kai.
That's another thing too that I've learned recently is that all of the abortion activists, and there was that famous video from the Capitol in Austin, Texas, where you had all the fatties out there dancing. And it's like, first of all, I guarantee you, none of you are having abortions. None of you are going to have abortions. So what is it really about? Like they're not the ones. So why is it you have all of these people out there? I would say 99.9% of pro-abortion activists are never had an abortion, never going to have an abortion. It's a weird thing to me.
And you know, that's why it is funny.
Like, why are you, what are you doing?
Well, they always are. And you know, there's this, I love this page, Fats Posting Their L's. If you can go to my screen.
I didn't know that was out there.
Yeah, Fats, you know Fats Posting Their L's?
Oh my gosh, how I've been missing out.
Yeah, Fats Posting Their L's is one of my favorite pages. And this girl was like, I miss when men, and they always like censor men because they try to make like a bad word. I miss when men with a 3 would go to war and die, because she's like wants men to die, right? Like, it's not even just like that they would live. And someone was like, Auburn, there was food rationing back then. You sure? Because it's like, yeah, you want to go back to an age where, you know, men were dying because men are so bad. Bitch, the men wouldn't, no one, you didn't have any problems with men back then. They wouldn't have touched you. Like,
that's probably a man anyway.
Well, that's what, yeah, there's no kai for this guy. You know what I mean? Like, this is true story. Like, she's like, I want to go back to an era when men would die. You, dude, as if, that maybe that is a good thing. Like, do men today want to touch you? That's why I never understand what these ugly people is. It's like,
no, she would be at a circus. She would be a centerpiece at a circus. I'm not kidding you.
They had the obese people as the circus. That's true.
Yeah. They would have, because you wouldn't see somebody. You see somebody 350, 400 pounds, you'd be like, what the f*** is that?
I'm still saying that.
The one word I was told not to say.
I know.
No, we're still saying that.
Like, they have a whole platform. They wheel this monstrosity out there. They probably like chain it up to even add to the effect. It's like, look at this.
Isn't that the sad part too? Is that that's just like a normal 2 p.m. at Walmart now?
This individual weighs the same as 4 humans. Take a picture, kids. Like,
like, look, okay, I'm not one to like, this is what's interesting, is I just want to give this disclaimer. I can talk about this stuff because I don't fall into the category of strikingly good looking people. And that's okay.
Says who?
It is okay. God's DNA he created, but it's okay. You know, my mom even used to make fun of me a little bit. She'd be like,
this explains a lot.
Yeah, she'd be like, God created this big head and then just poked 2 little eyes in the middle, close. Like, he just went like, and then like put 2 little eyes on this giant head. And I'm like, thanks, mom. And then she's like, yeah, you know, there's a reason why I had a cesarean, you know, because
why I haven't been putting the 3 shot up, because everyone can see how much bigger your head is in comparison to me and Owen's head.
Yeah, no, but it's like, look. I I've gone up and down in weight over my life, and I know that there's real reasons. This is the key thing. There's real reasons why people gain weight, and it makes sense. And it's an understanding that it's not making fun of people like, oh, you gained weight, you're automatically a loser, you're automatically bad. I get that times get tough, depression can hit, people die, jobs get hard, life gets busy. There's a lot of reasons. Sometimes you eat just bad food. Sometimes you are raised poor, like with poor eating habits. Maybe you are poor and the food that's accessible to you is, you know, bad for you and you gain weight quickly. There's thyroid problems. I don't care. You can make a lot of excuses. But of course, we're supposed to then lose that weight. Like, even when you're pregnant is a good example. It's a natural time when you gain weight, but then you should lose that weight eventually, get back to a healthy state. The reason why these people have to be roasted is not because I want to make fun of people who are genuinely struggling or have a health issue. It's because these people are trying to make it seem that being fat is not a disability and it's actually like a superpower. And anybody who criticizes them is this word, fat phobic. Let's watch that video on fat phobia.
Welcome back to my new series where I tell you some things that are fat phobic that you may not have known are fat phobic. This is one of my favorite ones. So if you think that a fat person existing is promoting obesity, newsflash, that's fat phobia. Because a fat person existing is not promoting anything. Because the word existing does not equal the word promoting. They're not synonyms, folks. So you equating fat people existing to promoting obesity?
I'd like to see that logic universally applied.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, and it's also, I don't hate you because you're fat. I hate you because you're annoying, but I despise you because you're fat.
But see, here's my thing. You make You make a lifestyle choice. That's your lifestyle choice. That's a lot harder of a lifestyle to live. You're going to have health problems. You're not going to be able to do things. I mean, I can't imagine trying to sit on an airplane. I mean, I can barely sit on an airplane. I'm skinny and I can barely fit in those things. I mean, so, hey, you want to live fat? You want to live your lifestyle? Fine, go ahead. That's your lifestyle. Don't make me pay for it. And don't act like you're a victim either. You know, that's another thing they try to do is they act like they're victims. That's why they have the whole fat phobia thing. So they can have a new victim class of fat people. It's like, oh, I'm a victim of fat phobia. Oh my gosh, I'm a victim now. I got to get into the victim economy too. No, you made a lifestyle choice. Some people might have some disorders that they can't help their weight, but no, most people can probably make a lifestyle choice if they wanted to lose weight or be in better health. So, hey, fine. Be fat as you want. None of my business. None of my lifestyle. Just don't make me pay for it. Don't tell me that you're a victim either.
Yeah, I know. And I do want to talk more about that. But speaking of not being a victim, make sure that you're not a victim of the number one people who are trying to screw you over, which is big tech, which is why you need to start securing your email privacy with StartMail. Now, obviously, you know, there's one way to get rid of your emails is like the Hillary Clinton, where you just destroy the servers because you have a large team and then you lie about it. Well, most of us don't have that kind of ability. And so when we have our emails, we delete them. They actually don't go away. And these email companies, they actually do hand your emails over to like law enforcement. People snoop in them. They sell your information. It's actually quite dangerous. I actually don't really talk to anyone legitimately on anything that's not secure, which is why you need to go to startmail.com/offensive. That's startmail.com/offensive right now to sign up today and get 50% off your first year of the most secure email. A few reasons why it's important is, number one, when you delete an email, it's actually deleted. They don't store it on some backup server where it could be used against you. Believe me, times are tough. You might not think it's important to secure your times, your information. Try speaking your mind on social media and see how quickly your true posts get deleted. Now, if that's what they're doing in front of you, what do you think these tech companies are doing behind your back with the things that you write? Making lists, deciding who you are. You need to secure what you're talking about, especially if you love this country, you love America, and you love free speech. Go to startmail.com/offensive. Like I said, sign up today and get the 50% off your first year. That's startmail.com/offensive, startmail.com/offensive for 50% off your first year. Startmail.com/offensive. Secure yourself. Don't use the big companies. Do what's right. startmail.com/offensive. I know that you said like, that's why we're not a victim of misinformation stuff because we secure ourselves. But a lot of these people, like you said, they act like they're victims. Like, it's like you point something out. This is an interesting thing. So in Queensland, like my family's Australian, they live in Australia. For those of you that are new to the show. And if you don't know anything about Australia, things are very bad there in terms of COVID and segregation. Now they've created a new system where you can no longer get medical care, which is state provided, which is why I'm against state provided healthcare. If you are not double vaccinated. Now, obviously, a lot of my family's not. A lot of people there are not. And they say, well, you know, we can't trust that you're in there because you're basically a pre-existing condition, so we can't allow you in here. Buddy, most healthcare costs are either to end of life, like long-term diseases, which most are a result of bad diets or environmental factors and life choices in general. It could be alcohol. It could be smoking, a combination of eating, et cetera. Literally, most healthcare is involving people who have made bad decisions with their life. And I'm not perfect, but to act like not getting double vaccinated with whatever Pfizer or the budget brand is somehow makes you more of a burden on the healthcare facility. Like in that case, we should start preventing fat people from getting healthcare. Like that logic would mean fatties, sorry, no insulin for you.
That's actually what I wrote down right here is apply logic universally. This is one of my biggest pet peeves actually. And that's a perfect example that you bring up. Well, they'll say, you've made a bad health decision. to not get a vaccine, so therefore you don't have the right to health care because you made a bad health decision. Well, can you apply that universally? Okay, so you've smoked cigarettes. You're not allowed to have any medical treatment. You've drank yourself sick. You're not allowed to have medical treatments. You've eaten yourself into obesity, diabetes, whatever. You're not allowed to have medical treatments. So it's not, it just shows that there's an agenda. It just shows that it's not about logic. It's not about healthcare. It's all about whatever the agenda is, which is right now to force everybody to get these vaccines. So what do? You want everybody to get the vaccines? Tell them if you don't get the vaccine, you don't get healthcare. But you don't apply that logic universally because it's not actual logic. It's propaganda and it's a control mechanism. It's the medical industrial complex. So they want you to, they actually like fat people. That's how they get rich.
I know. They want you sick, fat, and unhealthy.
Yeah.
They want you to die. Like, they want you to be unhappy and to die. They get sick pleasure out of it. People don't realize that. It's not a conspiracy. These people get pleasure out of other people not getting ahead, but staying behind. Do you want to hear this? I read the most black-pilled financial comment ever. I know this should seem obvious to people, and I did know about this before I read it, but I never thought about it. So put on your listening ears. Because we're about to read you more of the dictionary. No, but this is this guy was like, hey, you know, I actually was really responsible. I once had credit card debt. I got out of credit card debt. I bought a house. I paid off my house. I'm like, I was very financially responsible. So I went to go buy a car and I didn't qualify. And I'm like, what? I have money. I've like paid off everything. And he realizes like his score was in like the 500s. And he goes, wait, what? And they were like, well, you weren't maintaining enough active credit balances. And so he was going, wait, what? So they were saying, well, yeah, like obviously, cause you had a credit card in like 10 years and you haven't been maintaining any loans. So you don't have any like credit history recently. So your score is just low. And he goes, that's when I realized that in order to participate in society, they've made it where you pretty much have to have credit cards, which are very easy to mismanage and misuse.
Or you have to go into debt.
Or to debt. Yeah. So you literally have to go and enslave yourself, use money you don't have, or get money to invest that you don't have in order to do anything significant in the society. They start by enslaving you and require you to be a slave in their system. And the very few people who do know how to use credit cards well and actually do know how to manage them well and use them to their advantage is like a couple percent of people who have them. Most people just have these balances, are too afraid to look at them and pay minimum payments and are freaking out because they make, you know, $38,000 a year and have $12,000 of credit card debt. I think I read recently, like the amount of credit card debt, I think the average household is like over 5,000. And so, you know, as a business owner, I use credit cards all the time and I don't have any like weird superfluous debt. It's normal for me to have a high balance because I operate my whole business on it. But the whole point is that for the average system, like the system is set to enslave you financially, to make you get rack up credit card debt, pay interest payments, feel burdened, so you keep your crappy job that you don't like to pay the bills for a life that you're not happy with, and then you cope through drinking and eating, and you're unhealthy, then you don't have energy, you're not vaccinated, so you can't go to the gym, you can't work out, you can't travel, and then they just go, well, then get vaccinated, that's your answer, and you're just slavery after slavery after slavery, and they know you're unhappy, they know you're going to die young, they know that you're depressed if you don't kill yourself first, and they don't care, because not only do they not care, but they're happy that you are miserable and that you are a low life piece of shit. They love it.
You're depressed? Here, I got some pills for you. You want some pills? By the way, I got a kickback for all these pills. So take as many as you want. I got you. That, I'm glad you call that a black pill, a financial black pill, because I kind of experienced the same thing where I had a bunch of student loan debt. I had a little credit card debt, but not much. It was mostly just student loan debt. I had some, you know, some other payments. Maybe I bought like some furniture and put it on a credit card that was separate or whatever. But the point is, I lived completely debt free and would never use a credit card for like 2 or 3 years. And so I forget what I was trying to purchase, but I had to have a credit check. And I noticed that from the point of when I had debt to the point of when I didn't have debt, that my credit score went down. And so it was the same thing. I started looking into it. It's 21st century indentured servitude. You're at an advantage economically, which doesn't make any sense. Me saying this should be hyperbole, but you're at an advantage economically to be in debt. It literally makes no sense to me. It wouldn't make logical sense to anybody, but that's the case. They want you in debt. They want you struggling in debt to build your credit score, which is how the only way that you can even make a big purchase of if you want to get a house.
You can't even rent an apartment without a credit check.
Like, exactly.
So people say like, oh, well, I don't need a credit score. Bro, you can either buy a home nor rent a home. You can't do anything without a good credit score. So like, it's like they've made it to the, in order to secure housing, you have to buy into the indentured servitude lifestyle. Like, isn't that so crazy?
And 90% of people, probably even more, probably 98% of people are never going to have the cash on hand to buy a house outright. I mean, you know, it's just it, so they have to go into the system. They have to have the credit score to buy a house. They you know, it's they make it a required thing. And so it's just all part of the, you know, managed planet to just make human life harder on all of us. And, you know, this is the one part where I think the left and the right on the far ends of the spectrum start to kind of see eye to eye. We don't want to demonize the rich and the elite. We don't believe in taxing them. You know, for us, it's more of a, hey, you know what? Maybe don't be so greedy. You know, maybe don't be so greedy. Maybe pay your employers a little more or your employees a little more. But when you raise taxes on them, they're never going to increase payments to their employees. They're going to keep their pay the same because they're paying more in taxes.
That's why they want immigrants too. They wanted women to work and they want more immigrants because they want to keep wages low. They want there to be more competition and they want to keep wages low. They don't want to pay good wages. That's why you see homogenous countries that have smaller populations like Sweden or Norway or different places have a lot higher salaries per person, but then they trick them still and tax them higher. And then they make it so you both have to work and then they offer you free childcare. So they raise your kids. It's all to enslave you.
And
it's all
about
to
that
entrap
advantage.
You.
See, and that's that, this is where the anti-rich, anti-elite left go so wrong. And you can't be surprised. They go so wrong on almost every issue. Taxing the rich is not going to solve anything. It's not. It never has. It never will. Cutting taxes on the rich is the only chance you have that they're going to put some of that money back into the economy. Because think about how big of an advantage it is. The more you raise taxes, and in America, the biggest corporations aren't paying any taxes. Apple, Google, they get away without paying any taxes. So think about the advantage you've just given the most elite by raising taxes, and then they know the system so they can be tax exempt through whatever charities or donations that they make or charitable foundations that they run.
They make donations to their own foundations.
So they're basically living tax-free, and all of the anti-rich, anti-elite left thinks that they're getting one on the elite by raising taxes. They're not paying taxes. You're paying the taxes.
I know. And you know what? And that's what I was going to say is like, meanwhile, they're distracted. You said the victim mindset. It's like we are victims if you allow yourself to be, or you can understand who's really in power, who's really pulling the strings here. And I know that one guy who didn't. Besides giving great existential ideas, there's people are unaware of this, and this is the biggest problems that they're facing. Thinking that, like, I just play video 3, and I gotta break this down. I think it's funny. Everyone thinks I'm evil for thinking this is funny, but I think it's funny.
I worked up the courage to go to a bar by myself for the first time. I'm very excited. People keep giving me dirty looks, but there's a cute guy I want to say hi to.
I didn't even finish my drink. I just straight up left because I walked up to this dude that I thought was cute. And I was trying to like say hi, and he said I was too fat to try to play with people, so I just left instead. So definitely not going to be doing that by myself again.
Okay. There's so much to break down on this video.
I agree.
Can we
a lot.
Let's start. You can start here.
Okay. First of all, I mean, there's all kinds of things going wrong. Take the mask off. Okay. That immediately is just an L. You're just walking around with it.
On his second chin too. Well, so you know, some people bring the mask down to their chin. He brought it down to, I don't know, it's the third one. But also, it's you know what I'm saying? He brought it down here,
mm-hmm.
and that takes away, like, the neck fat beard. You know, they usually use a neck fat beard to cover the neck fat. My brother used, literally, rested a mask on his chin.
It fit, too. It like kind of fit perfectly.
That's nice, pretty sad.
It had a nice kind of flush fit there.
It's mean, but it's funny.
Here's the thing. I have a lot of gay friends, and so gay people don't like unfashionable people. This guy has no fashion. He has no sense of fashion. What is going on with your hair? It's unruly. What is this ugly beanie that you have on your head? Your shirt looks disheveled. You're wearing a hoodie. No, so if you're trying to go pick up a guy at the bar and you're gay and you're as disheveled and disoriented as this fella, you're not going to have a chance. In fact, the gays are relentless on each other.
They're very catty.
Yeah, they'll roast you. So I'm not surprised. But, you know, here's the final thing, and this is something that I think everybody needs to learn. When you're trying to live your life synonymously through your social media, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for failure. You're never going to feel complete. You're never going to feel successful. There's no real return there. It's all fake. It's all synthetic. So you're setting yourself up for failure when you try to live your life synonymously through social media, which is what he apparently does. Oh, I'm going to a bar, posts on social media. Who cares? Maybe if you're actually at the bar and not on your social media, you might actually meet somebody.
Yeah, and this is actually, so here's some criticisms of the modern gay community that I'd like to bring up. Because Savannah, I would like to, if I were not canceled yet, I would like to start now. Yeah, so there's this idea where I don't know what gay community these SJWs are a part of. I was born and raised in LA. I moved here from Hollywood, which is close to West Hollywood, which is Boys Town. I always laugh when I went to go drop something off at FedEx. Yes, I took a large package to Boys Town, but it was an actual box. And she was like, she didn't know that there was literally like a gay city in LA. She was like, where's all the women? And I was like, yeah, this is a... there's no women and the women look like men and some of these men might be women. So welcome to Boys Town is like one thing about the gay community and like the Jewish community and all these communities here is people always call you racist or homophobic. Like when you criticize them, it's like, brother, I was basically lived around Jews and gays and homeless black people. That's my life. Okay. And I know that those gay people, the rich gays in LA, like the ones that live there, they're very vicious, very catty, extremely judgmental, shallow, and very fit people. Very fit people. Okay. And like, that's the point.
That's like the most elite of the gay.
Well, this is what I've always thought about this is I'm going like, which is why I also never understood the gay guys being into like womanly looking men. I don't get all the fetishes, but what I do get is this. They really care about like fitness and all this kind of stuff. And they're wearing clothes that are too small for them. And so when you're like a dude and you're going up there and you're like, this is the entitlement thing. Like, well, I'm fat and the gays are supposed to be accepting. Brother, nobody is not less accepting than the LGBTQ community. These are the most savage, vicious motherfuckers that you will ever be around in your entire life. I've met many of them. I know many of them. I've lived there my entire life. These are not nice people. Now, this doesn't mean all of them are vicious, but the community itself is like, it eats its own. And so it's like you go out there and you're like, yeah, this fat black guy. And not because he's black, they'd probably still do you if, no matter what skin color you are. These guys are addicted to sex. But it's like, this guy comes out there and it's like, brother, the one thing I never understood fat gay people. It's like, if you're going to be gay and like try to be into men and stuff, what the fuck, you don't look like a Jigglypuff. You know what I mean? Like what's going on here? This makes no sense.
The aesthetics
to me.
Are all off.
Well, it's like if you like women, why would you go after a woman that looks like a man? Like if you like what you like, why would you look like an ugly dude? And it's not because he's ugly. He's probably a nice looking guy or whatever. It's like his life's choices connect this to being fat. And like the little, like that is the most beta bullshit I've ever seen in my life. Like, look at me. It's like, brother, you don't have a date because you're fat. Well, and I was gonna say you're gay, but that's what he's trying to do. And also because, yeah, you're sloppy, you're addicted to your social media, and like this is you think that's the victim mentality. Like, well, just because I'm gay, and men are supposed to like me. You know what where we can pair up with the gays on? Our mutual disdain for the obese.
Probably right about that. I don't know if they're as public about it as you are these days.
Oh no, that's what I was gonna say is like the reason why the gay community has to have all these spokespeople is because when you actually meet the community in like in the area, they're crazy people and they're like you don't want to be their friend. They're like they're very sexual. Like
and they have tight circles. That's not a pun. I mean like it's a tight like you can't.
They
get
have
in.
Loose circles and tight circles.
Their circles are loose, but their circles are tight. So they don't want
Savannah sitting there just like,
I'm like this whole entire episode, man, just.
But here's another thing too. Like, so you got rejected. Big deal. Like what that, like that doesn't happen to straight mm-hmm. people. Like you get rejected all the time. It's a normal thing.
Yeah. And also too, I want to say, it's like, yeah, I have gay friends too. Like I love Andy. No, he's very, 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 very homosexual. And he's also very, very kind. And I like him. And it's like this guy, Bojangles, that was like, when we were at this conference, he was like, He's a very gay person. He's like, I feel threatened because of people like you on the stage. He's like, wait, the way you think about gay people. And I was like, bro, the reason why I don't like you is because you're narcissistic and annoying. And most gay people I know are narcissistic and annoying. And I hate them not because they're gay, but because they're narcissists. And I don't like narcissists. And I don't like people who are bad annoying. There's
you don't
funny
like,
annoying.
So wait a second. You don't like assholes if they're straight or if they're gay. Is that what
I
mean?
I don't like assholes that like assholes and like to eat the assholes. And I don't like assholes who stay away from assholes.
Here's one for you. And maybe there's some, maybe there's
oh,
a segue.
Poetry.
Maybe there's a segue here for you. Write that down, Savannah.
Yeah. Write that down.
Quote him on
I'm
that.
I'm writing
that
it down as we speak.
Please quote him on that.
Write that down.
Because that was probably extremely powerful. But here's maybe a segue for you. I know people, and there are these people exist. These are actually real people out there. They walk the streets with you. They drive on the highways with you. They will not eat a single carb. Not a carb. Never. Not one carb ever. Okay? Will not eat it. Won't touch the carb. Never. But they'll eat ass every night of their life.
Remember, I went to a dungeon and four guys fucked me in the ass.
Yeah, that was an awful video.
And then they peed on me and there were fluids everywhere. And he's telling the story. Did he see that interview? I gotta send it to you. You gotta put it on your show and bleep it. It just shows you the state of America. It's like a random interview of a guy on the street and he's like, I think we kind of helped make that famous. I was really proud of us.
Yeah, a lot of people watched that video and
oh, good. Good job.
Yeah, he ended it. You know what? I'm not even going to say. Yeah, I'm not even going to say what he ended that video on because it's just going to get cut out and it's just disgusting, but
yeah, I will say that though that's the kind of quality entertainment that I was going to say that that's the kind of guy he's like skinny. That's the kind of guy who like doesn't eat gluten. But then he gets
one.
He gets gang raped and peed on in a sex dungeon and
loves
it's like
it. Coming back the next night.
Literally.
Well, as long as everybody's vaccinated at the orgy, yeah. Like, we're good. Yeah, we're good.
Wow.
He's on the floor of a porno movie theater. He's on the bathroom floor getting peed on. He's like, wait a second. You don't eat gluten, do you?
Yeah, do you know what? He's like, can I see your vax card before you pee in my mouth? It's like, dude. Do you know, by the way, there's this new Instagram page someone made and someone sent it to me.
This is all real stuff. This stuff actually goes on
but
in the world.
I think it's called like Schaefer Out of Context. And they cut clips
for you.
Of me out of context and put them up. And it's bad. And it's really bad.
You should
and
be happy.
I like it. I just was like, wow, I say really messed up stuff. And if you take it out of context, it sounds really messed up. But I'll say more of it. I'll keep it going.
Or if you listen to it in context, it still sounds messed up. But listen to it anyway.
Yeah.
You're a chauvinist pig.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Congratulations.
I don't even know if I've read the definition of I don't know if I actually am a chauvinist, but if it's good, then I'll be it.
Like just own it.
I don't really I've read the definition. Part of it is like I'm not a chauvinist.
Like, would you be offended?
I don't understand. I don't fully understand it in the context. I don't think men and women are equal, and I think men are over women. And but I don't know if that means you're a chauvinist. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be chauvinist. That'd be a chauvinist factor.
Sweet.
But here's what I'm saying though, like. If somebody, let's say that there was a gay podcast out there that roasts Elijah Schaefer every day and said, hey, look, he's got a big head. He's a chauvinist.
There
whatever.
Actually is. There's a TikToker.
So, but does that bother you?
No, I think it's funny.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, don't be bothered.
She's a slut and I'm not.
The biggest thing that you can do to upset any enemies you have is just to live happy. Just live a happy life.
We have so much fun.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you guys this. You know who's not having fun? People with nausea. And I know that a lot of you guys don't want to take medication. You're like, a lot of you actually suffer with this. Even when you're pregnant, it's really bad. And you want like a non-invasive way to get rid of that nausea. Well, guys, a lot of that feeling is due to a nerve connection that can actually be disrupted using a non-invasive process using Relief Band from reliefband.com. So basically, if you're getting ready to take that winter trip, hopping on some jet skis going up, whatever you're going to do, or you're just anxious about heading back into the office, I've got good news for you. Right now, Relief Band has an exclusive offer just for you guys. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code OFFENSIVE, you'll receive 20% off plus free shipping and a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So this is really important. Whenever I offer you guys products like this, I want to say this is 100% drug free, non-drowsy, and provides all natural relief with zero side effects that you wear this. And a lot of you guys have said that it actually has been working quite well for you by disrupting the signal through a non-invasive way. It's really kind of cool how it works. They've been using this in hospitals for decades and now it's available to you as well. But most importantly is like, if it doesn't work for you, because people get skeptical, like, will this work for me? Well, here's a good thing, guys. If it doesn't work for you, then you can send it back and get your money back. So there's literally no risk. But for many of you guys, it is working, and that's really awesome. And I say take the plunge. If you're suffering with nausea, nothing can be worse than that. And so try to find a good way to fix it once and for all. Try Relief Band. Head to ReliefBand.com and use my promo code OFFENSIVE for 20% off plus free shipping and the money back guarantee. There's no risk involved, and there's only lots of fun getting rid of that nausea. And you know what makes me sick? I'll tell you what makes me sick. Videos like this. We're talking about the indoctrination. Is like these people not only are victims, but they're preying on children and they're bringing people down that are beneath them. Watch this video, video four, and I want to, we're going to break this down.
To your face, Ty.
Makeup.
You put makeup on it?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
Seven.
No, how old are you?
Seven.
You're four.
No, I'm seven.
Are you a boy or a girl?
A girl.
A girl?
Mm-hmm.
Were you born a girl?
Hmm?
Were you born a girl?
Yes.
When you were a baby, were you a girl?
Yes.
Are you in a boy's body, though?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, tell TikTok bye.
So not only does this kid not know his age, but he has a parent who's telling him, you are a girl. And I don't blame the kid here because he's a kid. What kind of mentally ill, abusive parent would take their little boy and would try to convince them that they're a girl? That's child abuse.
So, first of all, let's look at the hypocrisy. This is obviously a boy. Everybody knows it's a boy. But she says, oh, I'm a girl. Oh, okay, so you're a girl. You say you're a girl, you're a girl. Well, he says he's seven. Why isn't he seven? Mom, why isn't he seven? He identifies as a seven-year-old. How dare you? How dare you deny your own child to make up his own age? Oh, that doesn't make sense to you. But with gender, it does. See, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. The logic should be applied universally, or it's not logic. It's lying. It's propaganda. So that's another example. Why can't a four-year-old identify as seven if it's a boy identifying as a girl? It makes no difference. It's not a girl. It's not a seven-year-old. But if it wants to identify... And, you know, here's another thing that's happening, and this is actually sad. This is when you get into the abuse part that I think that these kids are dealing with. You know that the mother put that boy up to it for however long. Who knows if they've been doing it for years, putting kids' girl clothes on him or putting makeup on him. It's not something that he did on his own, in other words. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes kids may see their mother putting on lipstick or makeup and, you know, just try to mimic that. That's a normal thing to mimic your parents. But that's clearly somebody's teaching that boy – hey, dress like a girl, pretend you're a girl, say you're a girl. And I don't know about this TikTok account or whoever that was, but you know that there are parents that use their children to get internet clout. They will literally use their children to get internet clout. They'll abuse their children to get internet clout. Psychologically, just to get internet clout. That's another example is what, in fact, I was talking about Savannah earlier. It's like there's so many elements of the internet that you could say, wow, this is so great. And then there's so many elements of the internet that have just brought so much evil on this planet. And that's another one, using your kids for internet clout. That is sick. That's what I think this person is doing right here.
No, and they absolutely are. And it is so interesting because it's like they're dealing with their own trauma by experimenting on their kids. And I get this too, because like a lot of people are very unhappy in the world. Okay. And they don't know why. A lot of people have, you know, we're not just talking about sexuality here, like in terms of like, oh, are you gay? Are you straight type of thing? But a lot of people are real suppressed in their sexuality. They're very unhappy in their sex life. A lot of married people are, you know, like they want to try new things. They want to do things. The other person doesn't. Usually one person wants sex more than the other. And, you know, it creates frustrations. Then when you add in things like porn, you know, people get introduced to all types of new things. And so then they want to try them. You also introduce trauma, like sexual trauma, being molested, et cetera. And, you know, people's sexualities can get really confusing. And connected with that does become a lot of the way that their identities are connected. This is where actually sexuality and gender are actually connected, in the fact that, like, a guy could, like, so there could go two ways. Like, if you're molested as a guy, you could kind of go in two directions. You could either kind of go more gay, or you could overcompensate and try to be more masculine because you're like, I'm not gay. You know, I got raped as a kid, but I'm not gay. So I'm going to, you know, join the military and join football because I'm not gay. And then, or you might just be like I'm a little bit feminine, and then everyone tells you, oh, you're probably gay, and you're like, I guess I am. So meaning like these things can genuinely like affect people, and people grow up, and a lot of people, because the world was less accepting of people who had different lifestyles in previous decades, a lot of people are living a lifestyle that they felt they should. They're working, like I said, a job they don't like. A lot of people don't really like their families that much. This is a true statement. Some of you guys are resonating with this. It's not me, but I'm saying I talk to a lot of you guys, and I get a lot of emails, and I talk to a lot of people. So a lot of people are unhappy, and a lot of people think like, what did I do wrong? Like, what could have been better? And this is where I think a lot of this comes from. And they look at like a lot of like, dude, the boomers, you guys were the worst parents ever. Like literally, like you guys raised millennials were so screwed up because of you guys, bad parents. I'm not joking. And you guys ruined a country. In their defense,
they had a lot to go up against.
Yes. But I'm just, yes, but we know who did the propaganda and what went on and why it's like that. But I'm saying still you could have been stronger. But you go to this. So like what these parents are is like, they're going, man, like maybe if I had an opportunity, I know what's going on, like to like do things differently, then or if people give me more freedom, then I would. But they're not realizing that like, yes, there is such a bad thing as like bad rigidity, like not understanding people's backgrounds or taking it into an account. But what they do is they take their kids and they go, look, things were too square when I was growing up and I don't like my life. So I'm going to take off all the reins. I'm going to take off all of the boundaries, and I'm going to let you explore who you want to be, even down to denying your biological sex that you were created by. And so they think they're doing something good because they don't want their kids to grow up unhappy like they are. And the point is that it's like, dude, nobody ever fully knows who they are. No one's ever fully confident with every part of themselves. That's why even people that are confident are always developing, because there's always weaker spots you can improve on. There's always new parts of your personality you didn't realize that you can make better. You can learn new skills. You can X out addictions. Like we're all forming and evolving and changing every day. And it's like the goal is not then to take that the pain that you have that people put on you that left you unhappy and then transfer that trauma into children so that they then say, well, then go free, you know, go free, Willie, go swim in the ocean, be who you want to be. Because what you're doing is the opposite of what happened to you. You were in an environment where you were not allowed to deal with the issues in your life. You didn't have good friends, good parents. You weren't able to cope and build and improve yourself. So instead of like building a better system, you remove the system entirely and you're just these kids up. This kid's going to be so messed up, man. Like realistically speaking, like you are setting these kids up to fail. And that's why this is so messed up, because we call them child abusers because it is child abuse. But it's like, how do you stop child abuse? It's by understanding what's going on in these people's minds so we can try to change the culture and try to get into their heads. And these people are being lied to and they're being reinforced saying, yeah, the way you're a good parent is to just let your kid identify as whoever they want to. And it's like, look, parent, I understand your trauma and I would love to just sit down with you and talk and hang out. And I hope you find good friends in your life that you can work through life together. You can find God and find faith. But like the way to cope with your pain is not to lead a young one astray, because nothing hurts God's heart pretty much more than people abuse children. Like he says that better is a millstone tied around your neck and you're thrown into the deepest part of the sea than to lead a child astray. So it's like, I'm not ignorant. I'm not just like, fuck these people. And it's not like I just don't understand. I get it. It's wrong. What you're doing is wrong. And I have to call it out too. You need help and your kid's going to need help too. You're making it worse.
Well, that's another example. But that's somebody trying to live their life synonymously through their kid. So that's like another level of psychological abuse that they try to live mm-hmm. synonymously through their kid, whatever they didn't get to experience or whatever. And that can be a dangerous thing. And this is also why, you know, this is one of the biggest problems that we have is children are not meant to be sexualized. They're just not. Your body is not ready for that. You know, your brain doesn't properly respond to that until after puberty. The chemicals in your body change, your sexual energy starts to develop and all that stuff. So once you start hitting kids with that sexual energy way too young, the whole system gets thrown out of whack. And so that's just a major problem that I think as a society that we need to start trying to reverse as best we can. It seems that everything's going in the opposite direction now with people like Meg Thee Stallion and Cardi B just doing basically softcore porn for children now. It gets promoted on all the social media. So, I mean, you're messing with the kids' minds. But here's the mistake that you were alluding to earlier that I think the boomers made that I don't think millennials are going to make in raising their kids. Now, leftist millennials, you obviously forget about that. There's no hope for them in general. But conservative millennials, we understand the propaganda now. We understand the propaganda, and we understand that our children are a target of it every day. And so boomer parents didn't really understand that. It was kind of a new thing for them. There were and plus, you know, the boomer generation, that was after, you know, the U.S. victories of war. So everybody was fat and happy. The economy was booming, you know, easy times make soft men type of thing. And so they weren't properly protecting their children, because the way they saw America was all fine and good. But I think conservative millennials are not going to make that same mistake. We know where the propaganda is. We know where the targets on the children are. And so conservative millennials are now doing everything they can to try to shield their kids from that stuff, whether it's homeschooling or private schooling or not letting them on certain websites or not letting them on certain apps or not letting them use smartphones or tablets. So that hedge of protection that I don't think was there as common from boomer parents, it was there for some. I mean, I had a very conservative mother. She tried to shield my eyes from all of it. It was impossible. And I mean, she's like, my mother was probably like 95% as strict conservative Christian as you're going to find. Like, didn't want me to watch anything. Didn't want me to see anything sexual, curse words, like nothing, until eventually, you know, once you're in you high school it. Age, once you're at high school age, there's not much they can do. But even before that,
I grew up with very conservative parents as well, and I don't know what happened.
But we still found everything, right? I mean, everything
yeah,
they did.
I found too many things.
Everything they wanted you not to see or hear, you still found it, because it was harder for them to, I think, form a hedge of protection or a barrier against all the propaganda for the children, because it was all so new. But now we know it. We saw it. And so now we know it and we understand it, and we can do a better job, I think, protecting the next generation of Americans.
No, I agree. And like you see this, like this woman who's like, we gotta make my son even wear a mask outside. It's like,
ugh.
I know.
At least he has a Nerf gun.
At least he's a Nerf gun. Yeah, training him right. But I do say, with all the abuse and all this, I am so happy, Owen, that you were able to come out and be on this show. You were awesome last night at You Are Here, the live show. You guys should check that out. That was amazing. And that was a really good time, a couple hours live, unfiltered. But obviously, you know, people want to follow you. What do you do? Like, people might be like, what do you do? How can they follow you?
The best place is just go to band.video. That's where pretty much all my content is going to go live 3 hours a day. Actually, 3 hours a day, 2 hours Sunday night. The War Room on InfoWars. I had the title before Steve Bannon. I just want to point that out. Not a knock to Steve Bannon. I don't know the guy. But it's the InfoWars War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. Central is when we are live on weekdays, and you can find all of it at band.video or freeworldnews.tv. And if you want to get a little more deeper cut stuff, I have a Subscribestar account too, where I kind of do some behind the scenes stuff, some more personal stuff, some late night stuff.
When am I coming down? When am I going to guest host with you?
I was telling your producer, Savannah, that now you have to come on to my show live.
I need to do like the full 3 hours
whenever,
with you.
Whenever it works.
I need to sit the whole show with you.
3 hours.
Yeah, I'm going to sit with you. I want to sit with you.
Do you think you can keep up?
100%. Today I'll have done, 4 or 5 hours of talking?
What? So I know you got a clock over there. Are we over the time?
There's no time. The show doesn't have a time. It's good. The timer is so that I can see ads times.
Because I have
to put them in at a certain time.
Because our format is built for radio and TV because we're syndicated. So like, we have hard breaks, right? And the thing that I like about doing the podcast like this is you can kind of, it's more in flow, right? You don't have to stop a thought process and then go into a break. It's a lot easier.
It's an ad read. So you're just,
it's a lot
read and then you're back.
It's a lot easier to complete a thought or complete an idea and kind of get the full spectrum of a conversation when there's not hard breaks.
And believe me, a lot of us here are probably somewhere on the spectrum too. So that's actually pretty.
Everything's a spectrum.
No, yeah, I know.
Everything's a construct now.
No, really, really, really. I need to connect back with your audience. I used to go on your show all the time.
I know.
And not just me, a lot of people who looked like me. There was Antifas with like nipples showing. There was like gangsters that were promoting Trump derangement syndrome. There's a lot of people that you had on the show that were like me, but I haven't been on. And like, I need to connect with your audience because I really, really love the audience of InfoWars. And if you guys don't know, that's actually how I got into all this stuff, was because of Alex Jones got me into all this. Technically, Alex Jones woke me up and then Ben Shapiro told me to start a podcast. So that's actually how this started. But I attribute waking up to Alex, and I'm just so grateful. And then I found you shortly after, like later, because you weren't, I don't think you were around when I was that young, but later in life, I ended up finding you too through your street interviews, which were part of the inspiration for me doing street interviews. Was I was like inspired by how you were like, I was not aggressive, but you were aggressive. And I was like, dude, yes, finally somebody telling people to off, like calling people out, and yet you getting attacked and not caring, getting sexually assaulted by a woman. Even I know you deal with that trauma every day.
Well, I think it should be a lesson. Probably not go around grabbing guys' genitals on camera in front of police officers. But hey, I mean, you know, you never know. She got away with it that day right in front of everybody and bragged about it.
And then now she's a sex offender, right?
Yeah, we won that case.
All she had to do was apologize, right? Or be a sex offender, right? Is that what happened?
You know, it's, boy, it's been years since that all went down. I know that, well, I don't want to give out all the behind the scenes details, but let's just say there were things that could have happened both ways.
To prevent things.
There could have been compromise both ways, and I didn't want the
She could have
compromise.
Also just not grabbed your junk.
That would have been number one. To make a point.
I know.
To make a political point.
I know. It is absolutely crazy.
You know what's funny though? The good news is, I mean, you can't, I don't know what it's like for you. I can't really, if I go out and I try to do street interviews, it doesn't happen anymore. I just start getting attacked, people yelling at me. I mean, it's just, not like it was.
At protests. I'm gonna go make a street video in LA, but like that's just like at like Huntington Beach. Like I'm just going to like Melrose or whatever. Like I'm not gonna be like going to, no one's gonna know who I am. I'm just wearing sunglasses, look like I'm from LA. Yeah. But like if you go to dude, I can't even go to protests in disguise.
No, they know you too well. So it really just turns into, you're just like bait for a shark. And it's just like, all right, throw you into the ocean and just watch all the crazies, watch all the psychos attack you. But hey, that still works. That still wakes people up. They're like, oh my gosh, this is the political left in America? Oh wow. I don't want anything to do with that.
I know. I'm gonna look this up real fast. I need to find it. This is how I actually dress at riots. I was like laughing.
Deep cover.
I was laughing because I was like going back. I have some funny pictures. Let me find this one. Okay. Yeah, you can go to my screen, Savannah. So like, this is like me covered. This is what I wear to cover riots in Portland. I have a lot of outfits though. So, and I don't reuse them, but that's my, do you love how you see like up there that you see like literally a knife on my chest? I always display weapons so people don't mess with me. And I always have them ready because I will actually kill you if you mess with me. I'm not even joking. So there's that. And then
you,
I was like,
Rittenhouse?
And I was, well, I don't mind. And then like, I love like this one, just like posing in front of the fire. It's just casual people. Like there's
that's
like
so
a fat
trendy
person. I know, but that's like more of like my streetwear. here's another one with clear goggles. You see all like the tear gas powder all over my, that's like getting shot with pepper balls. Sav, you know that one too well.
Oh yeah,
this one was not a disguise, but that one was so funny. They got mad at me at that event. Here's me in Kenosha, just chilling. That was like,
just a straight flannel.
It's a peaceful protest.
It.
Yeah, and then like, this is one of my favorite ones ever. This is me throwing up gang signs with black people, and then they burned down the building behind us.
Nice.
So we,
wow. Wow. You are so inclusive and progressive. I would just like to say, that's a beautiful picture.
That was my disguise, was a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, and it worked.
Well, yeah. You're part of the team.
Look at this. This is an iconic picture, I think.
Well, the fact that that building is now burned down.
Yeah.
That might be one of the last known pictures of that building.
Sadly, there's, I don't even know what these images are.
Yeah, that's when you got Philly, beat up, right? Throw back to Philly. That was our first riot together.
Gunter as a baby.
Aw, baby Gunter.
Oh yeah, there he is there. Oh yeah, here's me. Here's me just, you know, covering in DC. That's where I don't have to wear a mask because I don't care. And then I think, where's an example? I think there's one more. Never
what is
mind.
He doing right now?
This is the portion of the show where Elijah's like, I'm going to tell you guys about my life a little bit. We're going to scroll through my Instagram.
Yeah, in case you haven't seen my Instagram, you know, here it is.
Here's me speaking.
This is me.
Yeah.
Here's me speaking.
Elijah's like, hey, Owen, did you see me? Did you see me at the conference?
Here's my dog.
Here's a picture of our studio while we're in our studio, of our studio, looking at pictures of our studio. That's like an Inception studio. I know, it's like, there's the inside of Blaze Studios when you walk into the soundstage. There you go. You didn't know you were going to get it.
Hold on. I was told that they used to edit the Barney the Dinosaur show.
In here, yes.
This is huge for me.
The broom closet is actually Barney the Dinosaur's editing bay.
I loved Barney growing up.
This is the editing bay for Barney the Dinosaur, because we are in Paramount Studios, theoretically. I mean, this is Paramount Studios. And so we're here. That tree downstairs is the wishing tree from the 90s Barney.
I'm going to have to go make a wish.
You're going to have to take a picture next to
it. That's incredible. I watched Barney definitely for a couple years as growing up as a kid. I don't remember how old I was, but I remember I watched a lot of Barney.
That was the first globalist show. I have this new theory on Barney, and that's why God redeemed it and put us in the room, because it was actually globalism. So what it did is it was confusing because they chose a purple dinosaur, which doesn't exist, and they made him kind of fruity, like, like, I'm Barney. They made a fruity dinosaur. So they brought a homosexual.
Just a kid show.
Oh, that's what they say. Oh, it's just a drag queen story time. And then they always.
Everything's a conspiracy.
And then they
that's
always had to have like a black kid and an Asian kid. So it was like the woke.
That's what the red pill does.
Yeah, but it was public broadcasting. So it was like taxpayers to bring like a globalist, like multicultural environment.
Love you. You love me.
Exactly.
We're a happy family. With
so
a great
we hate brown people. Okay, I'm glad we've gotten to that portion of the show.
You love me too.
You know what? Here's what I remember, though.
I love that.
I remember at some point in Barney.
Childhood, it's robbed from me.
I this is actually curious, because I remember at some point in Barney, I don't remember how long the show was on TV. At some point in Barney, they started going a different direction. I remember this happening, because that's when I stopped liking it. And they started kind of bringing in a bunch of weird new characters and doing a bunch of, like, I'm guessing if I watch it now, probably like you're saying, like globalist woke BS.
It is. I've rewatched some of them because of this editing bay. I went back in time and watched some of the old Barneys. And I go, this is woke light.
That's crazy.
It's woke. Barney's woke. And it
even
was,
the first seasons, though?
Well, I don't think I was alive for those. I'm pretty sure those were probably in the 80s, right?
And that's what I'm trying to remember.
I'm not as old as people think. I know I look like shit, but I'm only 28.
Riots will do that to you.
I know. Anyway, if you make it this far in the podcast, like I like to say, I hope you like the podcast, because if you make it this far in the podcast and you don't like it, you either are my enemy and you're looking to take me down, which is fine. Hey, what's up? Or B, you literally need to figure out your life. Why do you listen to things this long that you don't like? So if you actually are one of those people and you really love the show, make sure if you have not already, take the plunge. Go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, wherever you can find podcasts. Leave that 5-star review. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And if you want to go a step further than just the review and downloading it there and become a blind viewer, you can sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah and actually become an SOB. And genuinely, this show, we've been doing a lot of extra long parts and stuff and extra segments on Blaze TV that have not been available in the show. So there's a lot of parts of the show that get cut out that make it onto Blaze TV. So you get uncensored. I think we still censor the F word and stuff, but like uncensored, I mean, we don't cut segments out there. So that's really good because it's the internet. Let's go ahead and just read a couple of these reviews that you guys left just to say a thank you for supporting the show. We got a review from Jen G that says, making the day better. You and Sab make me laugh and makes me happy. That's until you show me ridiculous pictures and TikToks, but I keep coming back for more. And they spell TikToks like they're Tic Tacs with an O. I'm glad you don't know how to spell TikTok. It probably means you have a better life than I do. We have another review from Noah Foe says, wow, I may be deaf and blind, but I always look forward to the day it airs. All right. That is weird. That was so weird. Okay, you can follow me and Sav on anywhere you want to follow us. If you want to keep up with us, Sav has a podcast called Rapid Fire. You can leave her a review too. You can also follow her on Sav Says on YouTube, and you can follow me everywhere where you can follow me. I officially made my private Instagram page public, and it grew a lot when I did that. So you can follow me on Instagram. Anyways, thanks again so much for watching the best worst show in America, Slightly Offensive with Confetti of Color. Get a little more for our good friend Owen. Make sure you support him and his show. There's no time more than ever that we need to support InfoWars and the good work that they're doing. Like I always say, have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.